Lauren loves animals, has always loved animals, but Kirsten has a lot of pet allergies.
Yeah.
But we finally gave in and let Lauren get what was supposed to be...
Goldfish?
No, it wasn't a goldfish. It was supposed to be, what you call it, like a teacup rabbit, like this tiny little rabbit is really small. But teacup rabbit has grown into like full-size rabbit.
It was just a baby. It wasn't a teacup.
Yeah. But I didn't know this. You could like train rabbits and they become affectionate. She has this harness that she puts on the rabbit with a leash.
Really?
And
can you teach rabbits to attack?
Probably.
I had a friend. Have you ever seen Guard Monty Rabbit. Python Search for the Holy Grail?
The foul, cruel beast.
I had a friend in high school who had a rabbit that he was house trained.
The friend was house trained or the rabbit?
The rabbit. Good. And he taught the rabbit to fetch a ball.
No way.
What? Wow.
I didn't know rabbits were that smart.
I didn't either.
Well, speaking of rabbits and chasing rabbits, what are we going to talk about today?
I believe we're going to talk about preaching.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Good morning or afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening to this.
Midnight.
This is episode 12 of the Piney Pastors Podcast, brought to you from the Piney Podcast Pastors Studio in the office of Nathan Smith. I'm Steve Haupt.
And I'm Jason Myers.
I am Nathan Smith.
And I'm Brian DeLay.
And this morning we are going to talk about everything having to do with preaching, and specifically why we preach the way we do at Piney Ridge Church, why we have multiple elders preaching, and anything else that strikes our fancy about preaching. We thought about this because we have quite a few new members, and we know at least one person who's not a member of Piney Ridge Church who tunes into this podcast. So we thought that we would explain a little bit about why we have more than one person preaching and why we preach expositionally through Scripture. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, Jason Myers, why?
Yes.
Why do we not just have one pastor who preaches all the time?
Because we feel like it. No, because we have four different pastors at Piney Ridge Church, and we believe in the that it is biblical to have a plurality of qualified elders, and all of the elders here at Piney Ridge Church have, I think, the competency and the desire to preach, and we believe that people are blessed by each one of the pastors preaching, because we all have different personalities, different styles, different backgrounds, experiences, and so forth, and so kind of, not in the same level, but kind of like how we have four different gospels who all are telling the same story of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. And they all give four different vantage points, and so giving us a fuller, clearer picture of Christ and the good news. I think that we can have different preachers kind of focusing on and displaying the wonder of the word and the glory of the gospel in different ways. And so I think it's a benefit to the people, or our people as a whole. I know I benefit from hearing you guys preach, and that would be one of them, but not the only reason.
And I think to help clarify for some people who might be newer to Piney Ridge Church, we don't have one lead pastor or senior pastor who is primarily responsible for preaching and then, you know, shares the pulpit with the other pastors. You know, one of our distinctives being biblical eldership, like you said, Jason, we share the responsibilities, the authority of pastoral ministry, and that extends, at least right now, extends to the pulpit as well.
Yeah, and while all preaching is shepherding, not all shepherding is preaching, meaning there's other things that we should be doing as pastors.
Oh, you just stole what I was going to say.
Oh,
I stole it right out of his mouth. Then I will.
But
let
I was
going
to mention that it was tangential.
Tangential. It was a tangent, math term. Go ahead and take that tangent.
No. You're You're on it.
I was just going to say that.
So for people who don't understand our inside joke, we came out of elders meeting this morning, and that word tangential was used
frequently. It's a math word.
Quite well. Yeah.
Used and abused.
Yeah, it was our word for the day.
Oh, that's
which,
good.
Which my comment was just tangential to what
it
we were
was.
Talking
it
about.
Was.
So go ahead.
Wow, this is like a vocab lesson. So, yeah, because we have different responsibilities as pastors, that preaching can take a lot of mental and energy and time focus. And so whenever you're working on preparing for a sermon to preach that week, there's less time and energy to focus on other things. And we all have different responsibilities and different gifts and different passions. And so that we can share that. And if one of us is preaching every week, then there's less of a time and ability to pour into other things and other people in different ways. And so I think it's a blessing for the church to share that preaching load, because then all the pastors get to be leading and shepherding in other ways as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it gives us time to do other stuff.
Hey, that was better. That was very clear.
Boys, straighten up.
Yes, sir.
What would you say to a covenant member that says, but I really like Brian's style of preaching. I really get into the sermon when Brian preaches, but not so much when the other guys do.
I'd say amen.
I'd say you must not be listening closely enough.
Well, I think one thing to say to them would be give Brian enough money for his family to live on so that he can quit his job and focus more time on preaching. But really, the truth is that there are probably people who prefer each of us just stylistically, or they may just know us better. Some of that, the way that people receive preaching has to do with how they, you know, the relationship that they have with us. And so if that individual prefers Brian's preaching, there are probably other individuals who would rather hear Steve preach. I know that's hard to believe, Steve, but that actually might mm-hmm. be true. And so just to remember that we are made up of a body of people who are different and have different
personalities, styles.
Yeah, different personalities, different ways. So Brian often uses stories as a way of connecting throughout the message as he preaches. And some people are really helped by that. They love story. And so that really helps them connect and stay focused and really understand the meaning of the text. For other people, I don't know, maybe that could actually be a little bit of a distraction where they maybe connect better with more of a logical flow, which Jason is really good at doing, just helping connect logically. Not that you're illogical, Brian, but just a different way
of
learning.
The story was great, but it didn't
people
make
have,
it. I had no idea what he was talking about.
People have different ways of learning, and so, you know, that's one of the reasons why, like Jason said, we feel like it's a blessing to the church to preach in this way.
And I think the other thing that Jason said that was, for me, the major reason why this is an advantage to the church is that we all see God, and we see, for example, preaching through Ephesians, we all see grace a little bit differently because of our experiences, because of a lot of different ways, because of our personalities.
Not contradictory.
No, but they all mm-hmm. serve, I think, to build each other up and paint a more complete picture mm-hmm. of what the Bible is saying. And so if Brian doesn't preach, we don't have the advantage of seeing God and seeing the grace of God in the way through Brian's eyes.
Right.
And so I think that when we have all four of us preaching and contributing to the preaching, we are able to see a more complete picture of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A given text may have impacted each of us differently. The Spirit may have taught us something different than he has taught mm-hmm. The others, and by having four different guys preaching, we're able to share, or we're able to color the text. That's not really a good word to use, but able to show just that aspect,
a different angle,
of it. Just a different angle, different perspective. You know, we were talking about an elders meeting this morning. Just talking about grace and maybe the way that God's grace has impacted Steve is different than the way it has impacted me, just because of the experiences that God has providentially brought us through. And so if we're each able to articulate those differences, you know, we were able to connect with more people, I think, that have very diverse backgrounds, experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things that people may not know is that we share our sermons with each other prior to preaching. So usually on a Friday or Saturday morning, we'll all get an opportunity to read the sermon if we have time to do that. And usually one or two of us will make comments, and I find those to be extremely helpful. So we actually contribute to the preaching, even on the weeks when we're not preaching, by just helping each other. For me, it's a safety net. If I'm saying something that's unclear, or occasionally Nathan has said to me, I wonder if people would interpret this differently than you mean. And he's helped me to hear my sermon through maybe other people's ears, or see it through other people's eyes, and to maybe have a better way of communicating what I wanted to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's tremendously helpful.
Even when it's, there's sometimes just encouragements of, hey, this is going to be really helpful. I really like this point. It gives you a little bit more, I guess, desire, or even for myself, excitement to preach it, because it was exciting to me, but knowing that it is, it's helpful to somebody else is automatically makes you want to preach it even more. But then also there's the things, like you said, to be clarified or corrected, or even just sometimes just simple mistakes of, you said to turn to James, 7:5. There is no 7:5, or I didn't mean 7:5, you know, in the text you're writing it. So just little corrections even can be helpful.
One of the distinctives of our church is expositional preaching. Nathan, you were one of the planting pastors of this church. What is expositional preaching, and why is it important?
Expositional or expository preaching is coming to God's word and preaching from a text, whether a verse or a few verses or a longer passage, preaching the message that is there. It's sometimes easier to understand, I think, in contrast to topical preaching. Topical preaching is to pick a topic that Scripture addresses and then going to Scripture to find verses and passages that support that topic or address that topic. So, you didn't ask this, but I'll tell you anyway. One of the benefits that I see in preaching expositionally is that when we do that, especially in a systematic way, preaching through a book of the Bible like we're doing right now with Ephesians, is that God is setting the agenda for each message rather than us having an agenda and then going to Scripture to support our agenda, which it can be good. You know, those topics, that's not necessarily a bad way to preach, but if we do that consistently, then we're consistently setting the agenda for the message that we're bringing to God's people. If we're preaching systematically in an expository way, then God is consistently setting the agenda. He's dictating the message that we will bring. And so if we're faithfully preaching expository messages, then we are preaching God's message to his people. And particularly, it helps us in that we're preaching a broad range of messages, not just the things that interest us most or feel most urgent to us all the time, but that we are we're letting God have the priority. He sets the priorities even in what we're preaching, because it may not feel important to us to
or easy or comfortable to talk about certain
issues.
Yeah,
to talk about what's an unpopular thing, women being dressing modestly. It might feel urgent, but it might not feel, important enough for us to go through the awkwardness of preaching on that. But if we're preaching through 1 Peter, it's in the text, and so God is setting that message.
Yeah, I've said it sometimes is like, if you're preaching only topically, you're asking the questions and going to the Bible for the answers. But when you're preaching expositionally, you're going to the Bible to get the questions and the answers. Mm-hmm. You're letting, so sometimes we don't even know the right questions to ask about life and about God and about ourselves. And so the Bible itself says, here, this is what you need to know, instead of just saying, I want to know this, and you look for it. When you're doing that, you skip over a lot of things that you'll miss a lot of things that you're not looking for. Mm-hmm. So letting the Bible drive our messages is really important. Yeah. And we do it we don't just preach expositional messages, expository sermons, but we do it systematically. Meaning through a book of the Bible at a time. So we have a system of saying, we're going to go through this whole book, keeping it in context, and going verse by verse from beginning to end. And so, I mean, there's a way to preach expositionally where you just pick a different passage almost randomly, so it makes it more topical at times. You can do it that way.
We have had a couple of series where we haven't gone through an entire book. For example, we went through the Sermon on the Mount. And before that, we went through Genesis, where we went rather quickly, and we sort of picked and chose a little bit of what we preached through Genesis. But primarily, we do preach through entire books of the Bible. what goes into picking what the next sermon series is going to be? So, for example, we're going to preach through Ephesians through the rest of this year, and I think a little bit into 2018, isn't that right?
Correct.
And after that, then, we will be starting a series somewhere else in the Bible. What will be some of the thought processes that we go through as we select our next book of the Bible? Brian, you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, much of what goes into our decision is driven by what is going on within the body at Piney Ridge.
Well, and casting lots.
And casting lots.
whatever.
Yeah, or dice lands. Or whatever we happen to have. Reading the cards or the tea leaves. Yeah, but just, you know, taking the needs of the people and asking ourselves what is it that our people are needing to be fed right now? And, you know, that at least plays a large role in our decision-making.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a little bit when we introduced the
podcast.
Ephesians series.
Was that, yeah. The first one?
Was it the very first?
Very
so
first.
Long ago, I can hardly remember.
Yeah.
I think it might have been the second one.
It might have been the
I think
one.
It was, yeah. The first was why we're doing this podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which people are probably
maybe
wondering right now.
Maybe we should go listen to that.
Why are they doing this? What are they talking
about?
But,
yeah, people could go and listen to that. But what Brian said was part of that, that we want to be helpful to people where they are at in areas that God's word, we feel like, might speak more or most directly in an applicable way to their lives. We also talked about things like we had been in the Old Testament with Ecclesiastes, and so we felt like spending time in the New Testament would be helpful. Ecclesiastes was kind of a hard book to preach through at times.
Heavy.
Because of the language. Heavy. Well, yeah, the heaviness, the tone of it, but also just the all the metaphors and picturesque language, poetic features was a little bit challenging to preach through. And I know, Steve, you've commented on how preparing for those sermons took a lot more time than preparing for Ephesians. Just
amen.
How to make it clear. And
right.
And so even just that aspect is part of it. Not wanting to continually have people really struggling just to grasp even the meaning, the bare, you know, just reading of the text, how do these words fit together? So Ephesians lends itself more to that, just being easier to read and understand. And so those are some of the things that we...
And it's not just variety for variety's sake,
yeah,
but to say that each book of the Bible uniquely speaks to the same gospel story. And some of them speak more, like you said, poetically, philosophically. Some are more like didactic teaching, like Paul does, just, hey, this is just propositional statements after propositional statement. But it's still within the frame of the whole storyline of the gospel. And so different books we need to say, hey, to give our people, ourselves, a fuller and clearer, more flavorful kind of understanding of the gospel itself, that we use different books. And
yeah, and I think that connects to some of the benefits of having different preachers preaching. It's not always true, but in some churches where one man does the bulk or even all of the preaching, he's usually the one who's choosing what to preach through next. And I think in the best situations, he's receiving counsel and maybe even doesn't have the final say on what that will be. But it's definitely going to be heavily influenced by whoever is preaching almost all the time or all the time, because even if there are other elders, they know that he's the one who's going to be in that book week after week. And so if he's not passionate about it at a particular time in his life, then nobody wants to force somebody to preach something that they don't want to. But even having other so in our situation, having four of us who preach, four of us are speaking into, from our different perspectives, what book we would preach through next. And and then I think that helps too, to just, like, we all have different backgrounds, experiences, etc., that shape the way that we preach. The biblical writers had different backgrounds and personalities, and that shaped the way that they wrote as the Holy Spirit led them. And so I think those two things work together to really preach. The Bible addresses all kinds of people from all kinds of different backgrounds. I mean, universally, the Bible addresses people universally. And so the combination of having different biblical writers and different guys picking which biblical writers to preach from, I think that really helps to address more people Because I think one of the weaknesses in having a church where one pastor does all the preaching is that churches like that tend to take on the personality of that preacher, because it can become kind of personality driven, where if people like that preacher's personality, they're more likely to stay at the church. And if they like his personality, oftentimes we like people that are similar to us, so they probably have a similar personality. And if they don't like his personality, they may leave. And so the whole church kind of takes on the shape of.
But if somebody comes Sunday and I'm preaching, they don't like my personality, just wait a couple of weeks and somebody else will be preaching.
Exactly.
That's good.
Yep.
It's a benefit. Mm-hmm. But, and so every biblical writer has different experiences, different backgrounds, different personality. And so that's flavoring how they write, what they write. But it's still all the same truth, the same gospel truth. One single message, mm-hmm. and they're all empowered and superintended by the same sovereign spirit. Yeah. And so too, when we're preaching, that we're talking about all the ways we have, you know, different personalities and different ways of communicating, and yet we probably have more in common than we do apart, in the sense that we all are preaching the truth. We all believe the truth. We all want to love our people well and honor God in it. And so I think it's the things actually that we have in common that makes it more appropriate for us all to be preaching. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody came in and said, hey, I have a different, want to add a fifth preacher to this, you know, who's not an elder, but they want to preach because they then maybe get a fuller picture of God or something. But being qualified as an elder means that there's a process by which we're saying, yeah, we affirm, we approve. Because we are saying we affirm what God has done in you and what God does through you, and that you believe these certain things, these important things, and that your head is right, that your heart is right, and therefore there's a kind of being qualified to do that, not because that somehow you are better than everybody else or anybody else, but that God has given you this calling and gifting to do it.
And I think the number one thing that we all have in common is that we all depend on the Holy Spirit. We know that we are clay pots, and that we, without God's indwelling Holy Spirit, would be futile in our preaching, and that there's nothing that we could do to transform hearts and lives. And one of the things that I value in our eldership is that we constantly pray for each other. We pray constantly for the person who is preparing the sermon during the week, and we pray for them on Sunday morning, and even while they're preaching.
Yeah.
We're praying for them, and so we depend on the Holy Spirit to get the job done. And so even the covenant members that are listening, we encourage you to pray for the preachers, for the pastors who are going to be preaching during the week, that they will be humble, that they will be submitted to the Holy Spirit in their writing and in their proclamation of the message, and pray that the Holy Spirit will do a marvelous work in the hearts of the people.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
We just had a sermon right here.
Yes, we
pass
did.
The plate.
Yeah, I love that. I'm glad you said that, because even some of the things that I said a minute ago about personality and how people are, you know, attracted to different personalities and things, if the Holy Spirit's at work and a believer is listening to a true proclamation of God's word, it can be from someone who has the complete, you know, opposite personality that we have, and their personality may get on our nerves, but we can still be overwhelmed by the truth that they're preaching, because the Holy Spirit is not limited by our personalities.
Amen.
It's the same powerful gospel and the same powerful Holy Spirit who is going to be working through us, we pray. And so that the content matters most, and the heart of dependence upon the Spirit would be next. And so style and preference is way down on the list as far as importance. And but depending on God is tops.
Anybody else have a wise word to say about why we preach the way we preach?
You know, we can go into things like why we don't use a lot of videos or things like that. And it's not because we think that those things are necessarily wrong. Yeah, but that we want to preach in such a way that we show the preeminence of God's word. We show our dependence on God's word. And that we teach people to depend on God's word. And so we want to use creativity. We want to use different things, but not in such a way that people depend on them, as if they can't experience hearing from God without a clever presentation with a lot of creative elements. We want people to know that they can open up God's word and hear from him. And so we believe that the best way to do that is most of the time to focus, you know, our attention. The things on the screen are going to be mainly God's word and or points from God's word. So that, I don't know if that's unique, but, you know, it depends on people's experience. That's maybe unique if they come to Pioneer Ridge.
If not unique, at least it's something that's intentional that we do.
Right.
There's thought behind it. Mm-hmm. Nathan, you mentioned this when you were defining what expository preaching is, but in case somebody missed it or kind of missed the nuance of it, as we go through a book verse by verse or, you know, small section by section, it's not as if we're taking a verse or a section and picking a topic that we're going to preach out of that, but the goal is to preach what the writer intended us to learn from that passage.
Amen.
And then we can make application from that. We want to draw out of it what the Spirit is speaking to us through that writer, and not
our opinion,
or just taking a topic and trying to place it over the top of that text and draw out from those nuances from the text. Mm-hmm.
And it can be challenging to do that, because we're always saying, God, I'm trying to mine this. I'm trying to dig out what's here. But it's humbling, it's challenging, but it's safer too, because we have less ability, I think, less opportunity to read into the text, meaning, or even more than that, preaching our own words, our own agenda, our own ideas, and trying to, it's way too easy, and we see it everywhere. It's way too easy to twist scripture to fit what we're trying to say. And instead of saying, I want to humble myself and correct my thoughts, and I want to shape my message about what the Bible's message is, and this particularly this text in context. What is it saying? What was the author's original intent to his original audience? And how does that what are the implications and applications for us? And we're submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit as we submit ourselves to his word. And so we have to be coming underneath and letting the word drive our messages.
Yeah. Kevin DeYoung, pastor and author, he talking about preaching, said something like, if the thing that you're most excited about preaching on Sunday is not the main point of the text, then you need to go back and do some more work. Because we can get excited about an application, or we can get excited about a story that I think that's what he was talking about, you know, a certain illustration or story that we're going to tell. And if that's what we're most excited about people hearing, or a joke or something, you know, whatever it may be, then we're not preaching faithfully, and we need to go back and do some more work.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Tangentially, every time I say Kevin DeYoung's name, I think Rodney DeYoung.
So do I. And you know what? I just saw
Rodney DeYoung.
Yeah, think young, Rodney DeYoung. Yeah, insurance. I just saw that. They still have a store in Cave Springs off of Mexico Road, I think. Yeah, it was so weird.
And I think of Mighty Joe Young.
I don't know that.
Well, that will be a wrap for this episode of the Piney Pastors Podcast. David Neighbor, you can take us home.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.